Triple M Football is the number one football call on radio. What is on the radio? And your front row.
For Villawood Properties, you belong here.
Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football.
Very nice to have your company wherever you're joining us. Big, big Friday night game. Only round two, but massive. Especially your sense for the Maggies, who were disappointing last week. Pounded by 80 points by the Swannies. So they come back home with plenty to prove tonight against the Richmond side, who, by their coach's own admission, weren't great either. So lots to enjoy Friday night. Before we get to the game, we've got the best in the business always, the Sample Triple M box. You know who they are by now because I've been here forever and they're number one rating, but I can see the Chief. And he's just so comfortable Friday night. It's just a habitat that the Chief's comfortable
he's
in.
He's comfortable in any habitat, let's be honest. Very comfortable with himself, is the Chief.
What should I do? Just sit here and look edgy or something? Or look nervous?
A bit of humility would be okay.
I'm very humble, Duke. Unlike you, who swans around like a giant peacock. Please.
Duke, also here, hot off the hot breakfast. Hello, Duke.
Hello, Jim. There's no humility about you at all, Chief.
I'm so good.
Well, you're probably right, Chief, I must admit. But I tell you what, there is something that is very special about tonight, and I just cannot wait to see. There's so many storylines. There's pressure. There's just to see what the Pies do to react.
Something to prove for both teams.
There is, isn't there? And I'm really looking forward to seeing. I love these games. I love seeing how players respond under serious pressure. It'd be good.
Well, we've got lots to look forward to. Prior to that, of course, Steel Sidebottom's going to join us. Brett Deledio's going to join us. Damien Barrett's here already. Purple?
Yeah, and not just this game, JB, but Hawthorn West Coast on Sunday. I cannot wait for that one and the showdown tomorrow. And there's for me anyway, a fair bit of interest in the GWS Geelong game. So it's a ripping round of footy as it presents itself.
And we're watching a Werribee outfit out here, which is a cocktail, I think, of their best lineup. But there's some North Melbourne involvement because, of course, that's the affiliated team. Big Magic Doors out there doing his thing. 9-7 they are to the Aussie Academy side, who are 7-3. This is the annual game. How does it get scheduled, Duke? Do you have any idea who they choose to play against? Sometimes it's the Collingwood Reserves, sometimes it's Box
I think
Hill.
It's on availability, Jim, but these are the best 25, 16 and 17-year-olds in Australia. Yep. Recruiters pick the Academy squad. They normally go on tour. They've been over South Africa. I think they've been over the United States this year. I'm seeing names out there. Having a good look at them before, Chief. There's a Scharenberg.
Yep.
There's a Goddard out there. So I wonder if they're relatives of. But the best of the best out there, the young boys.
Yep.
And the Werribee team's just put their foot down the last 10 minutes. Kicked a few just to open up a bit of a break on the young fellas.
There's a young Nate Fife-looking kiddie
wearing
number 8.
Doesn't he look like
him? Who is it, Chief?
I don't know.
Much, number 8. Anyway, he's done some very, very nice things. But
And there is the best mullet / ponytail I've ever seen on a young lad. It's down. He could almost sit on it.
Yep.
Assuming that he's from Western Australia.
I actually think he's most likely a Queensland bogan.
Be careful, Jim.
That's where they normally come from, Chief. Your bogan element in Queensland has dominated the Australian landscape.
I suspect he's a relative of yours. And I tell you what, there's the best cue ball out there you've seen. Magic Moore has shaved it smooth.
He has.
He looks like the 8 ball off a pool table.
Yeah, he does. And I'm telling you right now, these young men, Duke, do not want to be tackled by Madge.
And you'd imagine 16 or 17. Some of these kids would be probably 62, 63 kilos.
He's terrifying.
And there is one of the best looking ribs you've ever seen running around out there at the moment. So a few have just got out of his way.
And I don't blame him.
Nah, not a bad move.
Yeah, you got to live to fight another day, Duke, in my view.
That was your technique, was it, Jim?
100%. No point killing yourself, Duke. You've got to be more use the next day and the day after than absolutely falling on your sword during the course of that particular day. Always how I operated, and that's why I'm still here.
Was that what held you back, Jim, in the seconds, in the waffle, not the ones?
Well, it certainly wasn't skill. I was absolutely overloaded in that. But just running back with a flight, Chief, I didn't always see it as necessary. That was all.
Tell me sunny days were bad for you, Jim, because the odd shadow could cause a real issue.
What I had, Chief, which is a rare gift for a footballer, is 360-degree peripheral vision. Knew where everyone was, Duke, and it helped me out. Hey, what are we expecting from the Tigers is the other thing. I mean, I know Collingwood will be a massive focus, Purple, and we'll get all the way through that because they're always a massive story, whether they're flying or not. But Richmond, Damien Hardwick again today after his press conference post-game, admitting that they were far from where he wanted them last week.
Yeah, he made the interesting observation during the week that they almost treated that win over Carlton last week as a loss in terms of what they took out of it in their debrief. If I'm Richmond, I'm actually not patting myself on the back, but being quite satisfied that we responded. I say we, if I'm Richmond. when Carlton really pressured them, Jim. So other years, Richmond may have lost that game. I would be taking it as a positive, given it's round one. But tonight, I think there's more pressure, strangely enough, on the back of what happened last week on Richmond. I really do.
Really?
I think if Richmond is the loser out of this game, that's a greater loss than it would be for Collingwood, as bad as that would be as well. But I just think Collingwood's got the Dane Swan issue, Darcy, and has also got the steel side bottom issue, and I just reckon there's more scope for them to lose this game by way of the public fallout.
Yeah, there's layers of intrigue in this for me. When you get built up by 80 points and you're a side like Collingwood, we know that everything gets magnified. Chief, it's probably tenfold in terms of what gets publicised about Collingwood, and it just gets ramped up, whether it's real or not. Pressure comes on that club, and a zip-to start for them with what happened up there, and we know there was probably a lot of reasons why, injuries and the build-up and the story that broke before, but yeah, they've got to respond tonight. They have to, regardless of person. They get good players coming. I mean, James Ash is a really good player. Grundy's a player. Ben Reid comes in. So I don't think they've got personnel excuses. I think they field a good side tonight, and they need to show more.
How's
because they're
the
poor.
President been? You've been with him all week.
A little testy, Jim, would be fair to say. So we normally judge, I normally do, just on the shade of his head, and it sort of starts red, and when he's really off, it goes like a purpley colour.
Crimson purple.
Been purple all week.
Is it?
From start
yep.
to finish. And no man is more excited about getting here tonight. So, but he knows there's a fair bit riding. It feels like more than... I know we can get into that cliche. It feels like there's more on tonight for them than just the second game of the year, Chief. I feel like there's a lot more at stake for them.
Interesting you mentioned James Ash. You said he's a good young player. I don't know yet, Duke. I haven't seen the best of him. Now, there's big raps on this young bloke, and I hope he realises all his potential, but we never quite saw that up at Brisbane. So they were keen to get him. They got Treloar, they got Ash, they got a couple of midfielders come into the lineup. He gets a chance tonight. But I would be just as worried about the Tigers. It's funny, last week, a lot of people, I think yourself included, Warrior, were starting to say, well, Carlton's a chance because of some of the outs from the Tigers. Now, they've got more outs. I mean, Shane Edwards goes out of the side. Yeah, they get Grigg back, and I think they get Taylor Hunt's another one they brought in, but they haven't got Delidio back. They haven't got Marriage back. So they've still got some issues as far as their best personnel are concerned, and they're going to come up against a team that just has to be better than last week, has to just be absolutely feral when it comes to approaching the ball or the man with the ball, because they just got smashed off the park last week.
But we don't know that is going to be the case, though, do we, Chief? When it's all said and done, we think
you don't,
they're going to dish up something better.
I would expect it to be a lot better.
Brett Delidio, Duke's got to be a concern for Richmond. He's not often enough fit enough, is he? I mean, even when he plays, you get the sense watching him that he's a long way from 100%, and then he misses big slabs of footy as well. For a guy who's as gifted as he is and as important to him as he is, they would be worried that they can't get him playing at 100% often enough.
He's their most important player, Jim, and I think by a considerable margin. The role he played when he did get we know that a really slow start last year, when he got into the side and got rolling, they won a heap of games in a row, and he started to play as a high half forward. And he was getting that, you know, two or three goals, 25, 30 possessions. He's a brilliant kick.
Yep.
He's a good overhead mark. He can kick goals. He makes life easier for Jack Revolt. And you're right. I understand he's got a quad. And I reckon, aside from a navicular of the foot stretch fracture, quad injuries make you as nervous as just about anything, Chief. They can be really slow to get to come good.
It'll take a long time. And you can bet that they won't be taking a risk with him either. Yeah. So, you know, he might miss two or three. He might miss a month before they actually think he's ready to go and stand up to the rigours of playing a game.
It just always worries me, Duke, with a key player. You get him to round one and then they can injure themselves and that can happen. It happened with Wellesley, you know, last year, and he didn't play, you know, virtually didn't play again, and that can happen. But when a player as key as Brett Delidio doesn't even get to start round one after you get 5 months of work into him, there's just a warning bell to me about that.
Yeah, and I think that's quite. I think that's what would be scaring everyone at Richmond, because you can run at full pace, you can look like you're fine, and then you go out there and you kick your first ball, and if you tear that, my good mate Leon Cameron was absolutely flying as a player, and I reckon it just took 30% off him at the end of his career. He did a year, he just did his quad two or three times, missed 15 games, and it just completely decimated him for a good couple of years. So that's what they'd be nervous about.
Trav Cloak, Chief, we're going to talk about him again tonight. We're going to talk about him probably every time we cover a Collingwood game.
We have to, Jim, don't we? We do.
But you sort of look at it and go, well, what happens here? You know, like, it so often it's the same script.
He's been down for a while, hasn't he? And the Pies have to find a way to get something out of him, and Travis himself has to find a way to show us his best football, because he can't just continue to trot on the way he has been, Jim. I mean, we're used to him terrorising defences and splitting packs and taking contested marks, kicking long bomb goals, spraying a couple but getting plenty of shots at goal. He's not getting any of that. And the interesting thing is they're not kicking it to him anywhere near as much. Now, it's one thing to try and diversify your forward options and make sure there's a good spread of goal kickers, but when you've got a weapon, you've also got to make sure you maximise the impact out of that weapon, and they're not getting anything out of him at the moment.
Das, how do you get zero kicks, zero handballs in a half a footy in this day and age when you are Travis Cloke?
It's a challenge. I think you could mount a case that you could ask someone to get out there and run around and try and avoid the footy for hard. I'm not being a smart ass either, but I was up at that game at the SCG, and he's done things on the footy field that put him in the elite category, Travis Cloke, and I really like him as a player, and I like what he does. But I was watching him. You know, we sit in the best seat in the house, and we looked up one point and thought, he's not out there. He actually isn't out there. And we know the Sydney cricket ground can be really hard game for, ground for forwards, because but he looked up and he thought, all right, I know what he'll do. He'll put himself there, and then the ball has to fall. And it might be a pack of three or four, but just stand there, and you'll get involved in the play. He would then run to a position where he went, there is no chance the ball can get there. And then you think, oh, okay, maybe, you know, he's slightly out of sort. Then the next time round, you think, why is he running there? Why isn't he not just putting himself in that position?
Do you have
just
answers now in hindsight?
No, no.
Is it an instructional thing, or is it him misreading where the ball's going to go?
It's him completely horribly out of form. And then sometimes when you're out of form, I reckon you just your running patterns go, and you then almost think, I don't want the ball to come to me because I'm not feeling good. And he looked like that. And then they put him in the ruck, and I actually felt sorry for him in the ruck. Yeah. He just looked like he just would rather have been anywhere else in the world than taking that centre bounce, which I can understand given that's not what he's done before. But horribly out of form. It takes a while sometimes, Jim, but you know what? You'd be nervous if you're Richmond, because sometimes
it might just be
it just bounces back. He, and you,
but you've got Rance tonight, though, Dar, so I don't think you are nervous, are you?
Probably not.
No.
Wayne Carey, I think today or tomorrow, has written in his article, and he said this on the Rush Hour, so I'm not cooking him, that he kicked half of his tally of goals last year against GWS, St Kilda and Carlton, I reckon.
Okay.
So if you kick 30 for the year, 15 of those were in three games against those teams. So what Duck was basically saying is the same as Chief, and that is this is not a new thing, the issues that they're having getting him to be productive.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You can beat up on the little boys, but you need to stand up in big games. And is his best beyond him, Chief? Do you think?
An interesting one, isn't it? Because he's not giving him any structural presence either. So he's not that bailout kick that they always had. He's not the conduit where he leads up to the wing and provides a link, and then can, if he doesn't get used, he can double back and be running forward with the ball inside the attacking 50. So it's just it's almost like he's lost his identity out there, and he's not quite sure where he fits into the puzzle. They better find it quickly, because he becomes a pretty expensive player on the list if he's not having an impact for you.
It's a good point, because he's on big money this year, big money next year, and his past 2 years have already been a decline significantly on what he produced right through until the end of 2013, Jim, when he was really absolutely at the top of his game. And that offer around about that time the year before had come from Fremantle. So I mean, I think the question is, and Chief and Das are far better equipped to answer it than I am, but how long has he got before he has to be moved down to the VFL?
That's the question. You talk about that decline, Warrie. Now, a couple of seasons is about as long as can possibly be before you stop making excuses. And then you say, well, if it continues to decline, his best is past him. So this year's make or break for Travis Cloke, no doubt about it.
Could they help him out, Chief, before we move on to something else? And I know the game is more sophisticated now, but I'd still love to see him play more in the goal square and more at home and maximise his possessions close to goal. Could they simplify the game for him, or is that not possible?
Well, it's difficult if you sit him in the goal square the way Collingwood's playing at the moment. I mean, that only works if you're getting good quick ball out of the middle and you're getting one-on-one contests, and they're not getting those. So I think that makes it tougher for him. That's why I'd rather see him move up the ground where there's a lot more space, because if you put him in the goal square and he's getting the ball bombed down there and there's two or three blokes, he's getting picked off by third men up, intercept marks coming across in front of him, he's not leading, I think you're probably going to see him get more frustrated and have less impact than at least if he's got a bit of space to run around further up and be an option in different roles.
Something came across my desk, Duke, during the week. I was unable to believe it, I'll be brutally honest.
Okay.
So I then had to bring it to the Chief. I had to just ask him in the ad break whether it was actually true.
Which is the way we roll with it. Well, you bring it straight to the table and you confront it.
I said to him, I said, Chief, I heard during the week that you won the comp at Huntingdale, a club he's been a member of for a very, very long time, with 42 or 41 or 42 points. off a handicap of 31.
No, he's not a 31.
Well, that's what I said.
Jim,
no,
I'm a chopper. I am a chopper. No, Chief. That is a legitimate registered handicap.
Chief, I have played a lot of golf with you, and every time I've played with you, you've been somewhere between 10 and 14 and a very dangerous
Chief,
10
was,
to 14.
That was 31. Years ago, mate.
Chief, you can't go from there to 31.
Under the new system, you can.
Chief.
You can't feel good about taking out the club comp, Chief, on 31. You can't sit here as a proud man and one of the great sportsmen of our generation.
Let me just say
this. That can't sit well with you.
It's the only game that's ever done my head in golf, and I lost my passion for it a few years ago, it's fair to say. So I only go and play four balls with mates now just to have a walk around and a hit. So I gave it up long ago.
Enough passion to enter the comp.
That's it.
Yeah.
And a 40-odd
point. No, I remember this. So when you play, you go in, that's all.
Jeez.
Chief.
Well, you know what, Jim? It's better than blokes that cheat and make up their own handicap. Mine is registered.
Can you lie straight in bed? That's all I'm asking.
Absolutely.
How many sheets did you ease out of your mate's
pocket? No. We got lunch.
Chief, mate. I need to speak to a couple of your mates there, Pete Allen being one of them, just to see if there's actually any legitimacy to 31.
You can't take any pride in that, Chief, can you? I mean, you must. Is it awkward for you to have that?
Fleecing your mates? Not one little bit.
Sorry, I forgot I was talking
these blokes,
to different.
These blokes deserve a fleecing.
Chief, it sounds like a bigger fleecing than the 15-year-old who won the store gift last week.
It's not, Warrior.
She improved 7 metres in a week. You're down to 31.
Yeah, but you don't see the days where I'll have 25 points.
Chief.
And just chop it. You may as well carry a bag of axes.
I can't believe anyone with the coordination, the hand-eye, the physical prowess of the Chief
if you've
can
been,
play
if
golf
if you've been
off
as
31.
Low as 10, you're never 31. No. I mean, it's just an unwritten rule. You actually say, hey, you know, they're of interest to everyone else.
That's
I haven't
it.
Played for a while. But whack me off 18.
Well, Duke.
Whack me off 18 and I'll...
Duke, you don't get the choice. You registered, Chief. You submit cards, and it comes up in a computer.
My mates work on this theory, and I don't mind it. If you've played sport at a decent level, it doesn't even have to be in an elite level like the Chief, just a decent level.
Yeah, so you've got some hand-eye.
Yeah, you do not get more than one shot a hole. That's it.
Yeah.
So 18's the best, about, worst right. you can ever be.
So you're reinventing the game, Jim.
Well, Chief, all I know is...
Revolutionising the handicap
you
system.
You are, as Duke said, one of the more elite we've ever seen. So if 31 is an embarrassment to you...
No, not at all.
And you shouldn't accept... Look at the
I'm
face
very comfortable to play with my partner and we just go around and we win a few holes.
That's it.
It's all good.
Two shots. How many... 31, how many holes do you get two shots?
Well, you can't work that
out,
Jim.
No, not in my head. Not right. I've never had a handicap anywhere.
You never worked that out, Jim.
So tell me, how many are we? 15 holes? 14 holes? Chief.
Well, Jim.
That is a disgrace.
Jim.
How many par threes
Jim,
do you get two shots
on? Jim, what's 31 less 18?
How many holes do you get two shots? How many par threes do you get two shots on?
What?
Yeah, how many of the par threes at Huntingdale?
Nah.
You have a five and you still get 3 points.
No.
Chief.
Oh, on the fifth, you would, yeah.
Yeah.
Out of 44 there.
Oh, 44. Oh, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. Hey, plenty to discuss. I want to talk to you, Purple, about the Essendon Footy Club's the suspended group and the training they're doing, and they're minus a couple.
They are, Jim, and the big one is Michael Hurley, and it's the one that's causing the Essendon club some concern. And again, just to sort of back over for those people who aren't aware of this, Darce, they don't have any control of what these players are doing in an official sense, but they are well aware of what they're doing. But Michael Hurley hasn't been training with this main band group. They're reading a bit into it. The Bombers, they're trying not to read too much into it, but other clubs are reading a lot into it and are making the approaches, despite him being contracted for next year. And it's clearly a watch this space on him. Michael Hibbert has also been absent from it. There might be more personal reasons by way of travel reasons for Michael Hibbert, but again, he's chosen at times to train elsewhere as well as those travel times as well. And there's an unknown about the Collier and Miles involvement too. They have been there, I believe, at some times, but not the whole time as well. I think they're reassessing what they do throughout the course of the year. But the Hurley one is the big one in terms of other clubs getting wind, Jim, of getting in front of him, the need to get in front of him before he does recommit or commit to what he's doing in 2017.
No changes out here, by the way, so both teams as named. What is the football, I guess, legality of these players wanting to leave? Like, if any of them want to go during this year, regardless of their contract status, how does that sit?
To me, it is pretty simple, and I'm not going to deviate off this in my storytelling on this all year. If a player like a Hurley, who is contracted, wants to go, he will have legal passage to to be able to do so simply on the admission of guilt that the Essendon Footy Club gave to that court case, which involved the workplace health and safety issues. And that, and I've had the actual specific paragraphs in the standard player contract highlighted to me by certain legal people to say this is where that, that is an absolute breach of that club's part of that contract. So that, in their eyes, is a
that's
open
amazing,
and shut case.
I had no understanding. I just assumed the contracts were going to be valid going forward. And I
now, just on that, guys, before, again, I want to hear your point too, but the AFL is very keen for the 12 to stay and will be doing everything it can. And we know the way the AFL works without it actually having to be officially ruled upon. But they'll be doing everything they can to get those players to one of those contracts.
And I find that an extraordinary position because the AFL, let's be honest, that's not their jurisdiction. The players and whatever they've been through and what they choose to do.
Correct.
I wouldn't be taking my lead from the AFL on that. I'll tell you what you would be doing, though, if you wanted to get, you know, and there's a lot of quality players, Dyson Heppling included. I think that... that Michael Hurley is the one that you would go after if you want to change your club into a key position, young enough player, all Australian defender, could play forward as well, Chief. If you had your sights set on anyone, I reckon Michael Hurley would be the one.
Yeah, there's not that many quality key defenders that you can say, well, if we recruit him, we'll have him for six plus years. So I think he'd be a reasonable pickup. It's interesting, though. He's really found his best football down back, hasn't he, as opposed to playing up forward. So you'd probably recruit him as a defender, not necessarily as a swing.
Played all his junior footy as a defender. An All-Australian fullback right throughout his junior career. So it's probably where he's going to end up. But...
good human being, too, Michael Hurley. Everyone you speak to at the club and in footy generally has very good things to say about him, so you've got no worries there either.
And I think he's just let himself go a bit too. I put that word go in inverted commas. He's just realising that he's not going to be able to play footy again until this time next year, and he's just figuring that, well, why go hard right now as well? So he's just having probably the life of a normal 24, 25-year-old. Just
Dyson Heppel?
Yeah, Dyson Heppel, Jim, he is very much in that unknown zone as well. He is training, as far as I know, with that main group. He is contracted. It's a long-term contract. He will almost certainly become the next Essendon captain should he choose to stay once Watson works out what he's doing and once he retires or leaves the club itself. Again, it's a decision that he is weighing up right now as we speak. I think he's going to waver throughout the course of the year. You know, there's times I believe that he wakes up thinking, I've got to get out. There's times I think he wakes up thinking, I need to stay with my teammates and get to go through this together as we have done at this point. But I think he's going to waver the whole year. And as far as I can tell, no clubs have made the serious offer as I believe they have with Hurley by way of what goes on in 2017.
Michael Hibbert's the other one?
Yeah, he is. Look... it's not strong. The talk about him, Jim, is not as strong as it is about Hurley. And while he's not training all the time with that main group, I believe he's more inclined to stay at this stage anyway. And just I suppose to wrap up on the possibilities of the exits, they're almost certainly going to finish last on the ladder. There's draft pick number one. Hooker, still to right now, it seems he's going to go, and there's a certain scenario whereby the compensation for him, and he is a free agent, he's not contracted, so we're not talking about him as we are with Hurley and others. That could be number two pick as well, Jim. And if they then lose another one on top of that, they will be given, I believe, the free agency status should they choose to go for those contracted players. There's a scenario and a case that Essendon will mount that they should get picks one, two and three in that draft. And that's going to cause problems in itself way of opposition, given that the reason that they are going through what they're going through now is by way of a punishment. Yep. It should not be a reward for future seasons ahead.
I doubt that they'll end up with that, Duke.
One and two is very real, Jim.
One and two and three would be very, very unlikely. But you know my thoughts on it, Purple. You should never even get one and two.
I agree.
Duke, just quickly.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's anything lower than cheating at golf. I think that stays with you for a long, long period of time. And
stains you.
Jim brought the story that Chief won the comp at Honeydale playing off 31.
That's it, 42 legitimate. Points off 31.
This is legitimate.
This is a man who's had a handicap of 10 before. Yep. Now, the great Danny Foley's been listening, Spud, and he sent through.
He's got some priors in the same area, by the way.
Hey, I wouldn't. I won't hear that about Spud. I don't. I wouldn't have Spud.
I think he's owned up to it.
Has he? Yep. That disappoints me.
Moves the ball from behind the tree.
I played with Chief before Christmas, and he had 83 off the stick.
Chief
at Huntingdale.
Chief,
that's not 31.
83 off the stick. That's playing to 11.
Can you play the stinger for ship off, please?
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off. Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. Right. We need to start with a bloke called Danny Frawley.
Righto.
Yeah. Because the bottom line is he's the pathological liar, Jim. Let's be brutally honest. Never played with him before Christmas.
Oh, no.
Haven't had a hit with him for as many years as I can possibly remember. Right. This is the same bloke that has a leather wedge.
Oh.
If he's in trouble, the little boot comes out and just flicks it. This is the same bloke that has trouble adding 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 on a hole, and he'll come up with 3 instead of 6.
Oh, come on.
He could not lie straight in bed. He blatantly cheats. But see, he comes from a culture, you know what Spud's like, where he doesn't think there's anything wrong with that. Whereas we all know in the golfing fraternity, it is frowned upon.
It is.
You just don't do any of that sort of thing. You don't even joke about it.
That's why I'm bringing it up with you.
Well, Spud does it. So he can chip off. Did you read during the week, I found it very interesting, a woman got arrested for breaking into Dave Warner's house.
Yes.
Intending to live there.
Yes.
Well, this actually happened to a mate of mine who had a little holiday shack up in Queensland.
The squatter.
He'd been away for a while. He came back and there was someone living there.
No.
Now, Jim, imagine you going away and doing a bit of work, for covering cricket and whatever. Yes. You're away for a few weeks. You come back and someone's living in your house. How would you go?
I would be unhappy with that, Chief.
So I think on behalf of everyone, we should just say to all squatters, ship off.
Ship off.
You can't just say, this looks a good house, I might live here. Well, it doesn't work that way, the world.
You can't do that. The ones for the abandoned freeway, because the house is empty. I can half get mad around that because the joints are empty.
Yeah.
But if someone's got their furniture in there and their bed and TV,
it's a good effort, isn't it? They like the look of it. They said, I could live here. Oh, how good's that?
I'm with you, Chief.
Now,
did someone try and break into Sam Newman's house a few years ago?
Yes.
Shotgun or something?
No, well, he had a shotgun. I think she was told very quickly to ship off.
Right.
Whenever we come here and you go to grounds now, there is very much a heightened sense of security. And we know we go through pretty stringent checks now. And
yes.
I think, to a person, they do unbelievable jobs. And this, given the cultural, the current global political climate that we live in, it is completely necessary. And we understand why. And
we welcome it.
Yes. I applaud them.
Yes.
I had an issue with the bloke today, though. So I pull up, Jim, and he says, would you open the boot? I said, yep. There's a little button to press and it'll open.
Nice.
He goes, not opening. Oh. So, okay. I'll do it. So I get out, and I'm just about to get there, and the bloke opens it with the button.
Oh, no.
So I go and hop back in the car. I'm sitting there patiently, smiling at the bloke while his mate's looking through the boot.
Yes.
You don't smile at
people. I do. All good, mate? Yeah, no worries. So I'm about to take off. He goes, whoa, your boot's still open. I said, what, so the bloke that just looked at it isn't going to close it for me? I said, now you want me to get out and close the boot?
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
I love that.
So I drove off with a little under my breath. Ship off. He needed to go.
Jeez.
I thought that was the...
You can shut the boot.
That's ordinary, too.
Correct.
Shut the boot.
I would have thought so.
Yep.
I've been watching a lot of the World Cup, T20, the T20 World Cup. It's been very, very good. Yeah. And I was watching the semi-final last night between India and the West Indies, and it's amazing. Now, there is no bigger person in world cricket, in particular when you're playing in India, than Virat Kohli.
Virat Kohli.
So they're playing the semi-India against the West Indies, and they batted first India. They made 193 or so, and Kohli made another 80. He's freakish.
He just dominates.
Smashes them everywhere. He's probably the number one batsman in the world, with AB de Villiers. They're probably the two standouts.
Yep.
Well, they were bowling, and all of a sudden, West Indies were going okay. So, middle of the innings there, I think the West Indies are 2 for 100 and going along okay. They've got Lendl Simmons and Johnson Charles going well. So, they give Virat Kohli an over. Now, I don't know how many thousand that stadium holds, but it was jam-packed. They're off the rass and they're chanting Virat Kohli's name. So, he comes on first over. First ball, gets a wicket.
Yep.
1 for 4 off his over. I would have thought, job done.
Job done.
Broke momentum.
That's
go
it.
Back to your bowlers.
That's it.
And they did. But then the West Indies started looking like they might get there. Now, Jim, we know there's no bigger superstar in the game.
Yes.
But how many times do you reckon he's bowled a 20th over in a 2020 match when there's 8 runs left to win?
Wouldn't have thought ever.
So they thought, rather than anyone that's done this before, let's go with the global sensation and see if he can pull it off for us.
Yeah. How'd that go?
First ball, just a single.
Yep.
Second ball, dot ball.
Yep.
And he's bowling nudies. Yep. I mean, just these little off the wrong foot, medium paces with nothing on them. They only needed 8 off the over. They get 1 off the first ball, a dot ball, then a very lucky slog sweep 4 off the bottom edge. Then he bowls a knee-high fully that disappears about 15 rows back. And all of a sudden, the whole crowd is stunned. They're going, what? But it's Virat.
Yep.
It should work.
Yep.
He's a batsman, not a bowler. They gave him the most important over in a semi-final at a World Cup and wondered why it didn't quite work. So to the entire Indian crowd that were there in disbelief, they can all ship off.
Yep. Well, Chief.
One bloke can't get you over the line. Someone else needs to put in at some stage.
You know, I didn't know where that was going, Chief, for a while, but you pulled it together.
Your nurry that doesn't land doesn't tend to give international batsmen too many problems.
Correct. If it doesn't land on the pitch, Chief, it doesn't land on the oval either.
Yeah, exactly.
It just keeps going. Exactly. And it did. And finally, while we're on cricket, I'm going to give a ship-off warning.
A warning.
Yeah, good.
Well, after this semi-final, there was an interview with one particular player who is having an issue with talking about himself in the third person. Let's have a listen.
You know, we just have to keep our eyes open, you know, play according to the situation. You know, Chris Gayle will always be positive. It doesn't matter which bowler is actually going to be bowling against Chris Gayle. You know, Chris Gayle looking to attack, that's the nature of T20 cricket, and that's the nature of Chris Gayle as well. You know, no names, just the cricket ball, try and beat it as hard as possible.
In one answer, he used his own name four times in the third person. Now, we love Gayle. He can entertain this bloke. He flogs it like nobody else when he's a thrashing machine out there. Yes. He is unbelievable. But
last night, though,
if he does that again, we're going to have to ship Gayle off.
That's a new record, I think, for third person. Four in a sentence.
You're the president of the club he played at, Chief.
Yeah, and he was.
So you're not bringing him back out?
That's why it's just a warning.
Okay.
Yeah. He got off lightly, I reckon, Gayle.
He wouldn't want to do that again. Not unlike you, Jim, sometimes talk about yourself in the third person.
Well, just about myself. I don't know the name comes in, but quite warranted. Texts and emails piling in, Duke. Of course, we're here for Richmond Collingwood. We broke the big story earlier on tonight that the Chief won the competition at Huntingdale. 42 points,
it's
playing off 31.
Legitimate gems.
I've just had a text here from Pete Allen, who's, of course, one of the Chief's great mates at Huntingdale.
Brother of Mark Allen.
Marco's brother, yep, of course.
Don't golfer. Use that term, that loosely.
And Jacko, of course, your other great mate. Yeah. This is the text here. Jacko's just called Pete and told me to mention to you that Jason was so embarrassed about winning the comp that he asked not to have the results published in the paper as they've been every day for the last 50 years.
That's true, Chief.
Not true. You're making stuff
so
up.
So I'm reading it out, Chief.
Yeah, well, Pete's making stuff up too. He's a flog. He can chip off.
He then goes to the bottom here, don't mention my name. So in you go, Pete. He'll probably be here tonight, actually, parked down the
front.
Not
a great reflection on you, Chief. I expect a lot more
of
you.
It is 100% legitimate, Duke.
Mate.
He requested that doesn't go in.
No, I never did. I never did.
Chief, and that Pete tells Allen, us all we need to know.
Pete Allen requested that not to be read out under his name.
Yeah, and no, that was never happening. Don't worry.
Move on, Jim.
That gypsy will be sitting down the front here too, so we'll be dealing with him a little later on. Hey, I was interested, Duke, to hear the Port Adelaide coach, Ken Hinckley, say in an interview today that he thought the high-scoring footy that we've seen in the first round and all absolutely loved is only temporary.
Yeah, I can understand why he would say that, Kenny. And I think he's someone who will play the game with that flair and that sort of way. But I suppose the history of the game is, you know, someone at some point zags when everyone else is zigging, they go the other way. And at the moment, Hawthorn are one of the greatest teams that we've ever seen going for four premierships. And they've scored more than any other team. So I think often we are a bit like sheep in the AFL and everyone wants to play that brand of football. Someone will do it again. Someone will go back the other way and do what Paul Roos did in the era when he won a premiership. I'm not looking forward to it. I love it the way it is. I reckon we're in this brilliant little bubble at the moment. I hope they keep scoring. And I hope that, you know what, I'm not a big one for rule changes, but I actually like what's happened in the last round. It's been fantastic. The two rules have encouraged it.
But even if someone does go the other way, Duke, until they actually win a flag doing it, it's not going to cotton on.
Yeah.
So everyone looks at the trend. And in the last, if you look at the last 15 years, the team that's won the flag, I think bar one year, has averaged 100 points a game for the season.
Yep.
So, I mean, history doesn't lie. It's there. So if you're going to adopt a different system and go a different way, you need to have a lot of faith in it. You need to do it very well, and you're going to need to prove it quickly or you won't be around long enough to actually implement it.
And, Jim, it feels a bit like good versus evil, to be honest with you. I feel like the team that decides to go down that path of, you know, we'll try and keep someone to 55, 60, they're not going to be all that popular, and they're going to have to wear a lot of flack along the way.
A couple of calls from Gil.
There'll be a couple. Well, Andrew Domenico famously fell out with Roosie by suggesting exactly that in that era.
But what I'm loving about the, and it's a very small sample. We know that it's only the first round of footy that we've seen, but because of the 10-meter rule, Duke, from a commentary point of view, you don't seem to be anyway calling repeat stoppage after repeat stoppage after repeat stoppage, which is what we saw a lot of last year, especially around the middle of the year. The two teams crushing down into one quarter of the ground, and then you might often see five, six, seven ball ups in a row. which is not what anyone wants, not what we want to call, obviously, but the punters, the most important people in football, the people that pay their dough to sit here tonight, they don't want to see that either.
I went to the footy on Sunday as a spectator, took the family along to the Bulldogs game, and I sat next to a young man from England, seeing his first game, and he just said, this game is just brilliant. He said, it's just unbelievable, the pace, unbelievable how it never moves. He said, I can't keep my eyes off it. He said, we used to stop-start sport. We used to... and he said, that's why there's no violence. He was trying to work out why we didn't have security fence up, which I always love sitting next to someone from overseas. And he said, there's no time for it. There's no time. He said, how could you get in a fight? There's too much happening. And well, that's a good reflection on what's happening in footy at the moment.
That ball was pinging around there, wasn't it? Courtesy of your team, Dust.
Yeah, it was Bulldogs. Exceptional. It was exceptional the way that they played on Sunday, the Bulldogs. They really have
is
got
that
appetite.
Sustainable for 22 weeks?
I think it is, yeah. I think their coaches, Luke Beveridge, has got an appetite for it, for scoring. He loves it. His risk appetite is right at the end of the scale. So he would rather... outscore at any stage rather than try and lock one away, which is great.
It's snuck up on most people and most teams, but very quickly they've become almost unbeatable at Etihad Stadium. And they've got something like, 12,
10 in a row now?
Yeah, something ridiculous. And they've got the first seven games there, and they're flying. So, they could set their season up in the first couple of months of the season, and that'll be brilliant to have another team right up there pushing, giving the excitement that we might have a different team competing for the flag at the end of the season.
How do you put the coaches will all be going to work and all the coaching staff and the forward scouts and all the rest of it, Chief, on the Western Bulldogs if they've got them in the next 10 weeks? What do you have to do? How do you stop it pinging around?
Well, a bit different to Freo. I mean, Freo were poor, and there's no two ways about it. You can sugarcoat it any way you like, but they were poor. They were dreadful. Their entire midfield, apart from Lachie Neal, got smashed. So Fife and Mundy and Barlow and Stephen Hill, Subin, Daniel Pitt, didn't touch it. Didn't look like touching it. No contested footy. They got smashed in the contested footy. Now, it's okay to say the Western Bulldogs are pinging the ball around. They got to win it first, and they did. They won it every time. So I don't think it was a great guide as far as Freo's resistance against the Bulldogs, but it's a wonderful brand of footy to watch and look forward to seeing a lot more of it.
A reminder that Brett Delidio from the Tigers is not far away, but the Maggies are out there getting ready for a big round two clash Friday night against the Tigers. And it is an important night for them, of course, after going down by a big margin last week up in Sydney. They do it without Steel Sidebottom, their premiership star, who's not playing due to suspension. He's been good enough to jump in and join us now. Steel, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
How did that sit with the coach? I'd imagine Bucks would have been aware that they need, or you need, everything going right for you tonight, of course, after a disappointing first up round. When he found out that you were going to miss, did he have anything to say to you?
Not a lot. He was pretty good about it. I think from last night, clearly the loss was disappointing. But then for myself personally, as soon as it happened, I knew that I'd done the wrong thing. And it just made the night go from bad to worse, I suppose.
Now, Steele, you don't strike me as the thuggish type, mate, out on the pitch. So what's going on? Because it's not the first time.
I don't know. Maybe I can put it down to the position I play, that I'm running in all the time off the wing, and it just happens so fast. I don't go in there looking to bump, but, my eyes go off the ball. And when it first happened, I originally thought I hit him with my left shoulder, and then... as slow-mo does makes things look a bit worse than what it actually was. I hit him with my right. So it happened so fast that I nearly didn't even know what I was doing, to be honest.
Now, I don't think Bucks is going to change your position, though, is he? So what are you going to do?
I'm going to get lower and just go for the football, I suppose, yeah.
We spoke to Jeremy Cameron about the almost the same matter last week, Steele. And he was already sort of saying, rehearsing in his own mind what he does the next time. Have you gone to that stage yet, or do you have to wait till you get back into a match situation to actually do it properly? Or
from the first time I've done it, I'll be lying if it goes through my mind. Just if the chance is there to bump, then I always think about it. But I think when you're actually out there, you don't have enough time to think about it, and it just happens. And it's something that I need to work on and get out of my game, because I can't afford to be missing games of footy.
Still, congratulations on your career so far. It's been unbelievable, premiership player, and you've just done everything that you could hope for from junior footy into the game so far. I remember going back a long way, a little bit to do with Steele when he was at the AIS Academy. And I remember a beep test that you ran. Do you remember the one I'm going to talk about?
Yes, I think so.
And everyone was assembled, Chief, and the word was around, have a look at Tom Scully. He's the best junior runner that has ever seen. And he had all this expectation, and he still is a fantastic athlete. And then there's this young fella called Sidebottom alongside of him, who just kept going and going, and no one had got near Tom Scully. And eventually he looked around still and no one's supposed to be running with me. And he bowed out and still ran on. And I just remember thinking, this is a young man who's got a fair bit of a competitive edge about him. And it's the way you play your footy now. You're one of the great runners in the game.
Yeah, it's I think all my brothers have had the same sort of running ability, and it's something that I pride myself on, and you know, probably helps me get a kick out there on game day. So it's something that I work on. If you ask other blokes, they probably don't think that I do that much work on it. It comes naturally, but it does a bit, but definitely do work hard on it.
Even the big dopey fast bowler, what's his first name?
Ryan.
Ryan, he can't have any aerobic capacity, surely.
No, he's got none.
They are the ruckman of cricket. Fair dinkum. Hey, I want to ask you, we'll get on to tonight's game and what's going to happen here. But it's been an amazing week for you boys with the reporting in the Herald Sun of the hair testing and all the rest of it. I would have no idea of whether that number's accurate or not. I hear your club repeatedly say it isn't, and I'll take them at their word absolutely. So whatever the number actually is, A, it's appalling that it was made public, but B, how does it sit with you boys? For the ones who are absolutely innocent of ever having done anything, it must be really disappointing that you're all sort of cut now from this cloth as far as everyone's perceptions go.
Yeah, it is, and we spoke a little bit about during the week, and not only just the, you know, the guys that are first coming to the club and their parents are reading these things in the paper, it's I'm not sure what's going through the parents' minds, and you know, they should be concerned if things are coming out like that in the paper. But I think since AFL has come out and said that the story was false and the numbers weren't true, so I think, yeah, well, just the support that you know, the young players and the family need reading those rumours, it's just disappointing that those stories get out, but yeah, it's happened, and that's what it is.
So how tough a week was it for you all? I mean, you're an experienced player now, been in the club a long time, but you know, how hard did the players do it?
I think before the game, if you had have asked anyone that it was, you know, on their mind and had any issues, they would have said no. We're not blaming that from our performance at all, but I myself think that it did have a bearing on some players during the week, and I suppose this week it's cleared up a little bit, and I'm sure that tonight we'll get out there and have a much better performance tonight.
Well, your leaders were very strong, weren't they? I mean, your president's always strong, but yep. Gary Pert and Nathan Buckley. So, you know, it was a very strong response from them, which I think is entirely appropriate, but the response now has to be good too.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think a good performance tonight will, like most stories, it'll take the gloss off a little bit, and we can focus more on the football.
Speaking of the football, what about Travis Cloke? Have the boys rallied around him? He seems to be the one that the microscope has fallen upon.
Well, yes and no. I don't think he needs too much. He's old enough. He's played the game for long enough. But I think from last week, when our midfield got flogged like they did last week, then we can't get the footy into our forwards to even compete. And it's won and lost in the midfield. And I just hope tonight, and I know they will, that our mids will back up and our forwards will get much better supply.
Think Dane Swan will play again still?
I hope so. Actually, to be honest, haven't heard from Swanee since he's done the injury. He hasn't been in the club, obviously just resting it up. But it'd be very disappointing if he wasn't to play again. But I definitely, like everyone else out there, would love to play with him again.
Adam Treloar was one of the few, I suppose, bright lights out of that performance in Sydney last week. What's he brought to the play since he's been there?
He's like Pendles, but a few years younger. Everything he does is first class. I obviously played against him, but being out there with him, just how quick and strong he is out of contest. I think he kicked the goal maybe in the third quarter where he just broke out and broke the lines. It was something I hadn't really seen before in the pre-season, but he's definitely only going to add value to our midfield, and I'm looking forward to watching him go again tonight.
We see James Aish for the first time in Pies colours tonight. Now, this is a young man that's got big raps on him. We never saw the best of him at Brisbane. You've had a pre-season with him. What are you expecting from him?
Probably plays a similar role to I do, so I've had a little bit to do with Aishy. He's a smooth mover. He's got great skills, and I think he'll complement our forwards tonight, so hopefully he gets a lot of ball out in those wings and can hit up Trav so that, you know, he can have a great night tonight.
remember you being just a little cheeky as a young man still. You had a little bit to say. Do you get involved in a bit of that out there? Is there still a little bit of sledging goes on?
Not too much, Das, but watching Fox footy and stuff tonight with the Treloar and the Richmond thing put a bit of a fire in the belly, but clearly I'm not going to be out there to be contributing to it at all. But
They'll come after him?
Well, from what I've heard and seen, probably, but I think Ads is the kind of guy who'll take it on his chin and hopefully he just plays some good footy.
How good a footballer can Darcy Moore be?
I don't want to put the pressure on him, but I think most people have. But he's outstanding. I think he's awesome in the forward, and you even seen last week that he went back as well. He's got no fear. He just crashes into contests, and that's all we really ask for from Darcy, is just to make a contest. If he can't mark it, bring it to ground, and he does that every contest he's in.
And I like the swagger too. It seems authentic to me. It's not something he sort of manufactures. It's just a genuine belief in his own ability to do it. And one of the great things about modern sport is young people with that sort of an outlook are embraced and not slapped down, I guess, Duke, as they were in our day. If you came into a sporting team back then, you were told to sit in the corner and shut up until you'd earned the right to speak. But now you've got these young blokes who are unbelievably confident in their own ability. And as I say, it seems to me to be authentic with this bloke.
Yeah, and I love it the way Dust goes about it. He should be confident with what he does during the week because he does everything to a T, and his performance are just a sign of that, I suppose.
Still, Ben Reed comes back into the team tonight. It's been a massive battle for him just to actually do that. Do you still think he's got some good footy in him, given the battle he's had to just get that body right?
Yeah, I definitely think Reedy does. I like him as a backman. I think he'll play most of his footy as a back. There was times there where he went forward. Still did okay, but I think he's more suited to back. But I think he's only 26, 27, and with the injuries that he's had, he just gets, slight little things, and for others probably wouldn't worry about it because he's been through such a long and tough road that, Reedy takes caution too. But I'm certain that he'll definitely have some good footy to give to the Pies.
Do you do a 2K time trial at Collingwood?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So most of the clubs do. Some vary a bit, but I reckon there's probably 15 of the 18 have a 2K time trial. I'm presuming you win it, given
you got rolled
capacity.
This year for the first time, I believe.
Really?
What
happened
mate?
There?
I got rolled the first time, but as the media haven't found out, I actually got it back.
Got it back, so okay.
Got the revenge. Who on?
Young Tommy Phillips, who's his first year at the club this year.
And what are you running 2Ks?
My best is a 5:55.
All right, so do you... Because I know how competitive you blokes all are.
5:55.
Is that per K?
Do you look around?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts. Do you look around and look at like a Sam Gibson at North, who's I think 5:50? Do you all and a Blitzarves, I imagine, would be leading
30s
but,
or something?
But do you all sort of compare?
I definitely do have a look. I think Hawthorn might do a 2.2. So I think Isaac Smith and those kind of guys are great. But I definitely keep a look pre-season. I might find myself looking at the North Melbourne website or something to see who's had the good times, but. Yeah, it's definitely something.
If you could assemble a cross-country run, it'd be
big win.
It'd
be worth watching.
Still out there and to see big Blitzarves roll around. And
but that must be astounding to you, to play against Mark Blitzarves, and he's not double your height, but he's got a foot on you, and to win a 2K race against an elite runner like yourself by, what's that? That'd be 50 metres.
Oh, at least, yeah.
Well,
that's
astounding.
It is, and there's probably no wonder why he was trying out for the Olympics, really, isn't it?
Hey, you're a great story, as Duke said. I remember you. I think you were drafted in Jack Siebel's year. Is that right?
Yep.
Taken around 10?
11.
Yeah, 11. Yep. And you've just made every post a winner, mate. And we love the way you go about it. Good luck with this game tonight because it's enormous for you, but also when you get back into the side.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Brett Toledio, not far away. Richmond Collingwood, of course, tonight. Just had Steel side bottom in the box. I saw Trav Vaco out the back too. You get the sense, Damo, that the two people that Nathan Buckley would least like to not have at his disposal tonight are Varko and Sidebottom, just because of their ability to cover the ground, and they're both not out there.
And the other bloke we discussed in that conversation with Steele, Dane Swan as well, Jim. It's it's a big missing trio for Buckley tonight, given Richmond's status. But mind, they've got their issues too, as Chief said. The Edwards loss for them is pretty significant.
Marich, Deledio, so there are players missing from both, which may just balance it out. Brent McCaffer interests me. Not sure, I haven't seen much of what he's done over the pre-season, but how does he fit back into modern footy?
Been a long time out of the game. It is ACL back in round 22 or 2-3 years ago, I think it was. And
didn't play last year.
Played his first game for a long while up in Sydney. Like a lot of his teammates, didn't have a lot of influence, but he was genuine tagger back then. Had a really good year as a tagger. And you know, it's not a role that you see too often these days, Chief. There's not many designated tags.
Well, one of the best ones going around is at your club, Jim, Benny Jacobs, and he's not getting a game at the moment because there's no real need.
Yep.
So I think it's, as I said last week, there's never been a better time to be a midfielder right about now. You just, it's fantastic. You get to chase the ball on your merits and try and be better than the bloke you're playing on.
Well, the mindset of that, Chief, was never more evident. Oh, sorry, Jim.
Okay, finish it off.
Than what we saw out here on Monday, was it? Where Mitchell picked up 36 and Dangerfield 43, 44. And neither club could give a care about the other one.
No. Brett Deledio's been good enough to join us, Lids. G'day, nice
JB.
To see you.
Boys, how are we going?
Lids.
How are you? Because you're vital to this club and you're not playing.
Yeah, I'm going okay. Mentally, I'm pretty good. Just the body's let me down a little bit at the moment. But I'm running strongly at the moment. But just kicking at the moment sort of holding me back. So,
is it a quad, Litz? Is that correct?
A little bit higher than the quad, just right up in the rec fem. Don't get me to pronounce the proper the word there, but that's what I've been told by the physio, is the rec fem. It's just a little bit closer up to the hip and very kicking specific as to how I get sore.
But just the way you're talking doesn't suggest you're going to be back next week.
Well, if I'm kicking tomorrow, then I'm a chance. But I've still got a big session to get through tomorrow. But, still a little bit of work to do before kicking long and kicking comfortably, because I don't want to rush it and come back and get myself injured again.
I said in the build-up, Lids, it worries me when champions of clubs don't play round one, because you've had this enormous build-up and they would have been so aware of how important you are. For the staff not to be able to get you to play round one would be concerning you, I imagine, and them.
Yeah, I actually just had a really long conversation with our strength and conditioning guy, Pete Burge, and it's we have played with quite a few different things, because I've had calf and Achilles problems over the last 2 or 3 years, and we've sort of gone one way with it, and we tried something else this year, and that was to really back off midweek on a Wednesday. So I do Monday, Friday, but back off on a Wednesday, and that's hasn't worked for us, because I've got two calf niggles straight after Christmas. And then, obviously, this quad, well, you can't foresee that, but it's obviously probably through not doing enough work. So next year, it'll just be work, 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 and get myself
right. So there's no danger of you losing a bit of faith in your own setup? Like, you're not starting to question your own
getting
ability?
Getting old?
No, not the getting old bit, just that things, you know, at the wrong times are going wrong for you.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, I was speaking to one of our physios, and I said that while we weren't going so great, I played every game, and now that we're starting to play a bit better and win more games, yeah. I'm spending time on the sidelines. So, no, I certainly haven't lost any faith in my body or ability to compete and play the game. So I'm looking forward to getting back out there. Yeah. I just got to get the run in the legs and get myself right.
Lids, I think we're all liking the new rules and their interpretation and the free-flowing football we're seeing. The 90... interchange cap, how does that affect you personally?
Not a great deal, to be honest, because I only have ever rotated between 4 and 5 times a game. I like to spend a long period of time out there. I remember being tagged a couple of years ago, and I spoke to Boomer actually from the Kangaroos, and he said, when you're being tagged, stay on the ground, because it doesn't give them a mental rake when you come off.
Yep.
So I took that on board and just like to spend as much time out there as I can. If I need a rest, go forward. So
it actually plays into your hands
it sort of does. Yeah, it sort of does.
And you see yourself playing a lot more forward, this, because I thought it was a great role when you got back. It was a brilliant run of wins that you had a massive part in. Your form was unbelievable last year, and it just was like you changed the dynamic of the forward line. They got to put a gun defender on you, and then you can work them up the ground. Do you see yourself, you know, in this latter part of your career doing more of that?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do if Dimasi's fit to keep me down there, but. Look, I enjoy being down forward. It gives me an opportunity to play one-on-one with my defender and try and test him out with my skills versus his skills. But, look, we've got a lot of classy guys that go through there, and, you know, Dusty plays down there quite a bit, and Trent. So, you know, you spend as much time down there and a little bit less on ball, which is good. So get to kick more goals, and they tend to pay the goal kickers more money. So,
yep.
You go,
Chief found out with a career fleecing.
You know what? That was before the money actually exploded.
Oh, wasn't,
unfortunately. It exploded the year after I retired.
Of course, it really feels sorry for Chief, don't you? Life's been hard doing.
Yeah, it has. Hey, Brett, what can we expect out of Jaden Short tonight? Rookie listed player, elevated, first game.
A lot of energy. He's for a young guy first come in. He just loves to talk. Doesn't shut up. He's like a little foxy, you know, just buzzing around. That's what I expect from him tonight. Buzzing around our forward line and being at the feet of our big boys, and hopefully can kick a few goals and get a few tackles.
And the Rants cloak matchup tonight's going to be as crucial as anything to what happens. It will be. Yeah. Cloak's actually got a reasonably good, I suppose, record on Rants. Has he built himself up for this particular matchup tonight?
Rantsy, I haven't spoken to him directly about it, but I'd assume so. He's he just loves playing on the big guys and challenging himself against the best. He wants to be the best defender out there, and I think that's a terrific quality. So it'd be a good duel. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. But if our defensive pressure is right in the midfield, then it helps Rantsy out a hell of a lot.
Now, Lids, we saw some amazing stuff in the NAB Challenge from Ty Vickery, marking imaginary balls and tumbling over. Now, we don't like seeing that. We hope he's okay now, but I'm sure it must be a source of great amusement for the players now that you know he's okay.
Well, it's funnily enough, it's been more Dimmer that's been on his back than any of the players. So good on you, Ty, taking mark of the year there, mate. That was good, mate.
I love about footy clubs. That'll stay with you for 15 years.
Forever.
There's no way you can get
do nothing else, but that'll happen.
An imaginary mark. Hey, yeah, Liz, well, I thought a real positive out of last week, one that you won, but it was Kane Lambert and Sam Lloyd who stood up late, two names we don't associate with getting the job done for the Tigers. That was great to see.
Yeah, it certainly was. I thought to Kane Lambert, he was probably brilliant. The difference for us in the certainly the last quarter, but the last half. He went more on ball and gave us some real drive and a bit of zip around the ball. I think he had 11 touches or something and created a goal or a couple of goals for us in that last quarter. And Lloydy, just a natural forward that knows where they are. That little spin move and snapping it on the left, I think he's done that 100 times up at Denny. But look, he's just starting to find his feet a little bit more out there and feel comfortable in the senior side. So I'm looking forward to bigger and better things for both those two players.
Kane Lambert, well, amazing story. Rookie elevation, you're a real sort of Preston Bogan Nipsey. But then just drifted around. And then to play that quality of footy, I mean, that is fantastic.
Yeah, it is. Look, he just doesn't get tired. We ran 3 1Ks early on in the pre-season, and he came off the track and he said, well, I just didn't feel like I was wrecked. And the rest of us are keeled over looking for the iron lung, you know. But he's just ready to go again for 4, 5 and 6. But he's put in a hell of a lot of work over the summer, and he's reaping the benefits. I hope he can back up his good performance last week with another ripper tonight.
And Jack Revolt, how's the champ going? He's played an enormous amount of golf in the off-season. But
he certainly has.
Does that drop off this time of year, or does he still manage to slide out?
Oh, I reckon he manages to slide out just as much.
He's addicted to it.
He is literally
a golf addict.
Between him and BJ, I'm not sure who plays more golf, but BJ's got the kid on the way soon, so that'll soon put the handbrake on that. But, yeah, Jack really gets out there and he loves it and hits a beautiful ball. But
I'm assuming he does the right thing, Lids, and actually plays to the handicap that is his ability. You would have heard that the Chief won the comp on
Huntingdale.
Played off 31 and won the
31 and 40 points.
Mate, I think Lids' reaction there just sums it up. Mate, you don't.
It's some of legitimate registered hand. I'm just a chopper juke.
I thought you were a natural born sportsman. Chief was just good.
I gave up golf a while ago, Lid, so let's not go there.
He's a former 10 handicapper. You never, ever put your card in at 31.
You're disappointed to hear that, Lids, aren't you?
I am. I had a lot of respect for Chief and his ability all around.
How about you'll jam it?
It gets down to that with the Chief. What are you doing tonight, please? Where do you sit in the coach's box? Do you sit in the coterie groups and mingle? What are you up to?
I'm actually next door to Dimmer and the coaches tonight. So,
how does he go in the box, Dimmer? Does he wind it up, or is he pretty?
Well, I'm not sure if you saw the news the other day, but very similar to that. He does get revved up a little bit in there, but Jared Murphy sits next to him and just keeps him calm, which is good. So, no, I just watch and see if I've got a few things for half time for the boys when I go down and see what the forward line's doing.
Nice. The family are all good?
Can't complain. Little Miller's going well, and Katie's been a star. She's looking after me, making sure I'm ripe and ready for training. So,
Are you hands on, Lids? Are you very much hands dirty, or do you just leave it to mum?
No, very much so. I was surprised actually the other day. Basha Hooley told me he changed his first nappy, and his daughter's 2 and a half. So he reckons he went through a whole tub of wipes. He didn't know what to do. Stuff was going everywhere, he said. So that's one end of the scale. I'm completely the opposite. Yeah. I'm right in there. I don't mind mixing it up.
I might ask the bride about that when I next year, because I'm not sure I believe that, to be honest, Lids. So we're thinking if everything goes right next week, but most probably the week after. Is that what Richmond fans can take out of what we're doing?
Yeah, look, if I get through I'll get through a good session of training tomorrow and I'll kick, and then I'll look to do a bit more again Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. So
brilliant.
See how we go, and hopefully running out against the Crows next weekend.
Well, the game needs its stars, so we can't wait for you to get back. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me.
Always very good to Triple M Footy. Shut up. The Footy.